James chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verse 13 to 16, and then verses 19 to 20. And we want to ask the question, what kind of church are you? What kind of church are you? James, in these verses, says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has power as it is working. Verse 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whosoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What does a healthy church look like? In this passage, James presents us with the qualities that ought to be present within a growing church, and describes such a church as one that is a praying church, one that is a singing church. In James' mind, a growing church is a healing church, and a church that grows is a church that is a restoring church. The central theme of James in this text, that is in James chapter 5, beginning from verse number 13 through to the end, verse 20. The central theme in this text is the importance and effectiveness of prayer, both in the life of the individual and in the life of the corporate body, the congregation. I want you to notice with me that the word prayer, or some reference to the word prayer, appears some 7 times in these verses from verse 13 to 20. 7 times. The central theme that James wants to leave with us is the place and the power of prayer.
Amen.
That prayer must play a significant role in the life of the individual Christian as well as the congregation of which he's a part. Regardless of the varying situations, we can resort to prayer, whether it is in our physical needs, whether we are physically sick, or whether we are spiritually sick. Because he says, if the person is physically sick, then he needs to call for the elders of the church, and they will come and they will anoint him with oil, the effectual, fervent prayer.
supplication, and it is intercession. All of these are synonyms for prayer. And this is what we do when we pray. James gives us a command in the passage. He says, let him pray. Whether he is physically sick or spiritually sick, let him pray. And the idea here is that James is saying that in prayer, prayer is a coming before God. Prayer is a seeking of the face of God. For James in this text, when he says let him pray, James is saying speak to God directly. Have a face-to-face talk with your Lord and Savior. The command suggests let him pray. James is saying, in our moments of trials, in our moments of frustrations, and in our moments of sickness, we must be continually pleading with God. When he says, let him pray, James is saying, let him keep on praying, whatever your need is. Now, it is also interesting that the word prayer is also aligned or related to the word worship. It's aligned as well to the word praise and to the word thanksgiving. And so James would have us to know that when we are going, there are going to be moments when we have doubts, when we have needs, whether, as I said, they're physical or spiritual. James is saying, in those situations, the Christian that grows, the church that grows, is going to be a church that is prayerful and a church that is worshiping. Because it is in those moments that God is going to come in a very real and dramatic way to us through the prayers that we make. Notice we are told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And so the central point that James wants to tell these Christians that were scattered abroad is the fact that prayer must become an important part in their lives. But I want you to notice something else in the text. The growing church will not only be a praying church, because notice, James says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Alright? But the growing church is not only a church that prays. It is a church that will be a singing church. Notice what James says. Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. So the growing church in this text will not only be a praying church, it will be also a singing church. A church that sings. For James' admonition is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Now notice something with me. The command here is, if you are merry, or if you are facing despair, hopelessness, feeling down, depressed, rather than indulging in self-pity and dejection, James says, continue to sing praise. 1 Corinthians 14:15. We must sing with the spirit, and we must sing with the understanding.
That's right.
In Ephesians chapter 9, 5 and verse 19, we're not only told how to sing, but we are told what to sing.
That's right.
We must sing psalms and spiritual songs and hymns. That is telling us what is the content of our singing. So our singing, in the how of our singing is regulated. The what of our singing is regulated. The why of our singing, why we sing, is also regulated. Because when we sing, we are teaching and admonishing one another. We're not only told why we sing, but we're told the answer to our prayers, we must conclude that as a congregation, as an individual Christian, we are involved in making people whole again.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
Notice what James says. When you are sick, call for the elders,
amen.
And it's not just the elders, but call for your fellow Christians,
right.
And let him pray that you can be made whole again.
Uh-huh.
James commands us in verse 16. Let me hear verse 16.
Confess your faults.
Confess your faults.
One to another.
One to another.
And pray one for another.
And pray one for another.
That he may be healed.
That you may be healed.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Prayer works.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is what James is saying.
Amen.
And he illustrates it with Elijah.
Uh-huh.
He said, Elias
was a man subject to like passions as
what,
we are.
Well, what do you mean? James was just a man, Elijah was just a man just like me.
That's right.
And what he realized is that prayer moves the hand of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So what James is saying, you need to be made whole again.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be brought back to what you are supposed to be. In this case, in a spiritual sense,
mm-hmm.
call for your fellow Christians and let them pray for you.
Amen.
But first of all, you must be willing
mm-hmm.
to confess mm-hmm. your sins, mm-hmm. own up to it.
That's right.
And when that happens, and sincerely they pray, you will be mm-hmm. brought to wholeness.
Amen.
That is into spiritual wholeness. You will be made well again. And here is what, here now, there are times in bringing each other to spiritual wholeness,
mm-hmm.
we will have to rebuke.
That's right.
There are times when we are bringing people to wholeness
mm-hmm.
that we have to reprove.
Yeah.
Coming to wholeness might mean sometimes that tough decisions
mm-hmm.
need to be made, hard stances have to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we are going to bring ourselves to wholeness. Difficult sacrifices sometimes will have to be made
yeah,
in
right.
coming to wholeness. You know what fascinates me when I was younger? When my mother in particular used to give us some bad taste, I mean really bad taste in medicine. You know what they always say? It is good for you. Have you ever tasted sulfur bitters?
That's right.
Have you ever had castor oil put in a spoon and
drink
it?
Yeah.
Drink it, it's good for you.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, I still love my mom. All right, now, so, you see, coming to wholeness might mean that we have to take steps
right.
and do things that might not go down very well.
That's right.
But here's the point now. As we try to bring each other to wholeness,
mm-hmm.
look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4, we must make sure, though, as Paul tells us, that we do it in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
Notice Ephesians 4, 15.
But speaking the truth,
in love,
may grow up into him.
May grow into him
in all things.
In all things.
Which is the head.
Which is the head.
Even Christ.
Even Christ. Now here is Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Watch me. We should never be so loving as to negate truth.
That's right. That's right.
We must right. never be so loving as
Amen.
To negate truth.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Equally, we must not be so strident in teaching truth
uh-huh.
that we fail to love.
That's right.
Because
That's
the
right.
truth must be spoken in love.
Amen.
We must do it in a way that what is our intention? We are trying to bring the Christian back to wholeness.
Uh-huh.
And there's a particular way that to restore such an individual, to bring him back. But notice now, Paul, James says, let him know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he means? He, in this passage, he means, let him keep on knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the idea? When you try to restore a brother from the error of his ways, James says, I want you to know that you are involved in a very good work.
Amen. Amen.
You are doing something good. I want you never to forget that.
Right.
I want you to keep on knowing that when you try to restore a person who has gone from the faith, you are doing a good work. But look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. This verse tells us that we have an obligation to each other. But look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Now here's what. You know, I find this fascinating. Paul does not say the Christian, just any Christian, must go out and restore in this passage. He said those who are spiritual. It means that there are some Christians who are not spiritual enough.
That's right.
Those who are spiritual should restore the person in a spirit of gentleness. But notice this now. What does it mean to be spiritual?
Mm-hmm.
When we are going to convert or to restore the person who's lost, we must recognize, we must be led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We must make sure that our actions, our attitude, and our motives are in keeping with the will of God. We must be spiritually mature as we try to bring the sinner back to God, because it takes a particular way. You know, sometimes you go try to restore a person, and rather than looking at the issue, you're going all over the place rather than dealing with the issue. Paul says it takes a particular mindset. It is a person who is spiritual. The person whose motive, whose attitude, and whose actions are going to be guided by the word. But notice something here now. James says he must be restored. Well, what do you mean by restored, James? James uses a word here that means repairing, mending that which is broken, making one what he ought to be. What is our purpose as a growing congregation? We are about mending that which is broken, restoring that which is broken, repairing that which has been damaged. Because you see, to leave the truth is sin.
That's right. That's right.
There can be no excuse.
That's right.
It might be inconvenient. Our feelings might get hurt. We might seem to justify or excuse ourselves. But there can be no justification for leaving the truth.
That's right.
None. Notice what, look at verse 20. And I want you to notice something here. Verse So he has to confess.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have to, he has to be convinced
mm-hmm.
that he has left the faith before he can be restored.
That's right.
Those are the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Notice now. Just one other point, and then I'm in. What is James suggesting about the truth here?
Mm-hmm.
The sinner, the Christian, was left with faith. One, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7,
mm-hmm.
James said, our Paul tells us that the truth must be obeyed.
Amen.
The truth must be displayed in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
The truth must be spoken in love.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4:15. If we are to be a growing church, we must be about restoring our fallen brother who is in sin. So what are you telling us, James, in this passage? That a growing church is a sinning church.
Mm-hmm.
A growing church is a healing, praying church.
Mm-hmm.
And there, the church is about speaking the truth and restoring the fallen in us, in the spirit of gentleness and meekness. And we know that meekness don't mean meekness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the idea is that we must develop the spirit that, look here, here is my brother who is broken,
mm-hmm.
who has been damaged,